Hello. Today is whatever. We're eating cupcakes.
29th.
It's not actually Halloween. We did discuss that. But we're doing Halloween cupcakes because why not? This is how you celebrate. Wendell's dug into his.
Not actually candy.
Wait, these aren't rings?
No.
That's why I bought these
not
ones.
Not only are they not rings, I think I just lost the filling.
Mine's a ring.
You know, I did think it was odd that they would do a finger ring, but I didn't question it, and now I'm upset.
This is a pumpkin ring.
This should have at least been candy.
I like how they make it open-ended. So if non-children do decide to use these, they can.
I was planning on wearing my... I was hoping by the end of the news I would have like 5 spider rings.
Yeah, but you'd have to clean these.
I've got a mouth.
So what is the finger? Is it just a stick?
It's literally just a stick.
Oh, there's sprinkles as well.
Yeah, it's very messy dessert.
So much.
We're going to have really nasty mouths after this. No one went for the purple, I see.
I know. I wanted chocolate.
I wanted chocolate as well, but the purple would have really stained your mouth.
It's fine.
Now I have I like less smut on my cupcakes. I concur that the Meyer Deli undercooks their baked goods.
They do, because they don't make baked goods. They make deli meat, but the bakery, on the other hand.
There's a processor launching later today. This is not that video. There's going to be another video later.
Wendell was really excited about that. And I was like, we have cupcakes, and that's what you want to talk about?
These aren't underbaked, but...
they're pretty solid. They're okay.
I'd say this is a 6 out of 10 cupcake. Maybe 5.
It doesn't have a very strong chocolate flavor.
It's not overly sweet. I'll give it points for that.
I'll try one of the vanilla ones.
You could do a purple one. I want your mouth to be purple the entire... That's also just a stick? What the hell, Blizzard? Show the camera that. Look at that. False advertising. You know, none of the candidates even discussed this in their plans.
They really half-assed the sprinkles here because they're just not even sticking to the icing.
The purple icing has a much more...
glossy.
Wet look to it, yeah. You think that's a different material?
I don't know, it must be. You just get really quiet and awkward.
I'm really feeling spooky right now.
Yeah. I couldn't find our spider web to decorate the set. I think someone got rid of it.
Yep.
We were finding that in a lot of places.
The snow was the one we found everywhere. Don't worry, the snow will make a return for Christmas.
We'll have to buy more.
Oh no.
The Patreon supporters didn't authorize that, Kristen.
What's really funny with the spider web is that, like, sometimes we still use B-roll that was shot during that time from stuff.
And so, like, you can I'll see, be like, the spooky stuff in the background.
Yeah. It's like we'll be shooting something on the table, and it's like, oh, there's spider webs in the shot.
You want this pumpkin ring, Krista?
Yeah, I do. I want it real bad. just yeet it on over here.
Are we going to just put these in the floor? Or are we going to interrupt the...
I'm sure everyone's really happy that we did this right in the middle of the broadcast.
I can add this to the stack if you want.
I'll do it. I'll take one for the team.
So how's it going, everybody? I went to visit Gamers Nexus. That was a lot of fun. There's going to be a video on that, too. Woo!
Will that be released? No, I'm going to keep it.
That'll probably be out.
Any of these other decorations?
No.
That'll probably be out later this week.
I'm going to put the finger on the set somewhere.
So, yeah, food during the Level 1 news. Not a terrible idea.
We do this for the stream more often than
the news. I think a lot of people will point out...
Oh, we can save these for the stream.
...that eating in microphones, always a bad idea.
Yeah, sorry. That probably was terrible. I didn't think about that.
Yay, ASMR.
Also, I didn't have my microphone in front of me.
I did, so whoops.
Oh.
Could be worse.
Well, in other news, there's a rogue browser here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Google This is business news, by the way. Remember Google? They got in trouble because they were oppressing gay people, pregnant women, minorities.
Literally everyone.
Unions. Who am I leaving out here? Anti-war people.
Right.
And that just kept coming up over and over. And it seems like they've gotten together, the internal management team, and said, here's how we're going to prevent that.
Google has been accused of creating a spy tool to squelch worker dissent. The company says it's an effort to curb calendar and meeting spam. What an incredible excuse.
I don't know about you, but I had a lot of meeting spam this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's a... No corporation actually wants to curb meetings. They want more meetings. No one believes this.
So what happens here is they've got this internal tool where you can just, you know, with a couple of clicks, you can invite a bunch of people. You can set aside conference rooms. That's very easy to do. But what they've noticed is if you add more than 100 people or more than 10 conference rooms, you get flagged. And someone comes and talks to you about why you might need that many people. And it better not be organizing for political or union purposes.
It's at this time we can learn from the lessons of Star Trek. So when Kira explains how to set up a terrorist cell where, like, nobody above or below, you know, should know different people or how it's going on, that's how you should organize inside of Google so that they don't know, you know, who's above and below. And so you have these different units that are working together.
Yeah, that's definitely where that came from. Splinter cells are something that Gene Roddenberry came up with. They didn't exist before then.
What a revolutionary.
We talked last week about Goldman Sachs celebrating the Apple Card being the most successful credit card launch of all time. Which is a dark dystopia, isn't it?
Goldman Sachs is celebrating by not giving anybody that works for it a raise.
So you have to use Apple Pay to use your stupid Apple credit card. It's not a real credit card, which probably explains this headline.
Apple Pay has overtaken the Starbucks mobile app to become the most popular mobile payment system in the United States. It's because we literally have nothing else.
I don't know. Doesn't this seem kind of asymmetrical to you? On one hand, you can use your Apple Card to buy anything that Apple Pay can be used for, right? And on the other hand, you can buy coffee and snacks. I mean, is that really a comparison?
Yeah, Apple, don't.
You can. Apple Pay is the RFID part of Apple Pay will work in a lot of places at a lot of point of sale systems. The Apple Pay, we're going to give you a loan to pay for this device, is different from the Apple Pay. You can just pay for this thing.
The Starbucks thing, that seems almost like a lunch account. You just put money on it.
Your argument is still, you're making my argument. Like, why are we comparing something that you can pay for anything with
yeah.
to something you can pay for coffee with?
Apple has called both of those things the same thing. So there's two different Apple Pays. There's an Apple Pay that you could pay for coffee with if the coffee shop takes Apple Pay.
But you could use Apple Pay in a lot of other situations, is my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't use Starbucks in every other situation.
No. That's why it's weird that the headline compares.
Right, yeah. So it seems unfair to Starbucks.
It might... I guess if it's unfair to Starbucks, it really underscores how dysfunctional the mobile payment system is in America until Apple came along.
Maybe.
People in Europe are like... They've got, you know, the token that they used to get on the bus is the same one that they can make mobile payments with. So they're laughing an RFID token, probably.
Yeah, well, I got a knife.
they don't even have potato peelers.
There's a new Intel processor coming out. And here's the bad news. It's going to mean more Internet of Things.
Intel Tremont CPU microarchitecture, power efficient, high performance x86. That's not what is launching today. Probably like 2021, 2022 for this one. But it's a new microarchitecture and some details have been posted. This is on Hot Hardware. So yeah, it's a new microarchitecture. It's supposed to be more power efficient and, you know, higher instructions per clock because it's designed for future processes that maybe don't clock as high as current processes.
And super low power. So it can be in your blender. Why not?
Because that's something you need in a blender.
We've talked a lot about 5G, what 5G is, and what 5G isn't, which is very good at coverage. And you think about cities, towns, states, when you think about cellular wireless coverage maps.
Certain hollers.
That will never be 5G. But when you think of buildings, you really don't think about different zones inside of buildings, right? I mean, it seems like you could put 5G everywhere in a building, but no.
Verizon's 5G network can only cover, quote, certain seating areas, unquote, in a basketball stadium. Wow. So if you didn't need any more indication that 5G is a fast-coming hot dumpster fire, this article will give you some more ammunition.
Now, I'm sure. So the idea here will be that we want to get 5G to the most amount of people. So we'll put this up in the cheap seats where the most coverage of individuals will be, right? Not in the luxury boxes where there'll be like one or two people. Definitely not that, right?
I can't wait for a return to the days where like which way you're holding your head is whether or not you get signal. That's going to be amazing.
You're talking about like you wouldn't think of it as a building, but I remember like distinctly in parts of my high school that were like mostly cinder block having no coverage or anything like that. And that was a real problem. But I wouldn't think a basketball stadium would have quite that same issue. But
considering they could put the 5G modules somewhere in the building.
Yes.
And you'd think that...
It's curious.
Why wouldn't they just do that?
Because it costs money to deploy the number of towers required for proper 5G servicing.
I guess. So we're just going to keep pretending that we're servicing the whole country and we're not?
Yeah. Yep,
that's it.
Listen, you shouldn't be playing on your phone anyway. You should be watching the game or the concert or whatever it is you came there to watch. So it's your fault.
That is odd that you would go to a basketball game.
Have you been to a concert in the last 10 years, Krista?
Everybody
is holding a phone. Everybody's recording it. And I have this sneaking suspicion that something like 0.00001 of those recordings is ever watched.
I don't understand people who do that either.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound like absolute garbage.
I've been to fireworks shows in the last like couple of years, and like people will record those on their phone.
The phone cannot adjust the brightness properly.
Yeah, they look terrible. And then they post it on Facebook, and I'm like, what? What? Why would I watch this? It's so much fun to watch it in person. It's curious.
Well, strange. Comcast, we haven't talked about them in a while. Oh, wait, we do every week. And they have this cool new thing. So, again, they see the writing on the wall. And it's like, hey, you want to stream to your TV? Well, you know what? We're just going to give you a box that lets you stream to your TV. But read the fine print.
Comcast's free streaming box actually requires an additional $13 a month fee. Now, when The Verge reported on this originally, it was, that's only $13 a month introductory. That's going to go away after a couple of months. Here we are a couple of months later, and Comcast has said, no, you're going to have to pay this fee from now until the end of time.
Unfortunate. $13 is a lot of money to stream.
Comcast lied? No way.
I'm sure.
Well, this doesn't pay for the services on it, I'm assuming.
No.
This is literally
just a thing that, like, aggregates all of your streaming.
You're
services.
Giving them money for nothing.
Like, yes.
You could buy this box for, like, how much does the crappiest version of the Google Chromecast cost? Like, $20?
Or the Roku?
I was going to say Roku.
Yeah, like, $20.
Or every smart TV that's on the market right now.
Yeah, but this really gives you an idea of cable companies' mindset. It's like, no, you're going to pay for this from now until the end of time. And that's just how it is. And there's nothing that can stop us because we're too big to fail.
And a Jeep Pie just laughs.
Yeah, laughs all the way to the bank.
Laughs into his Reese's Cup mug.
What a terrible human being.
Google Stadia is almost here. And you can't get the ad-supported one, but you can get the pay-for one, which I think it's in early November. Is that right? So, I'm not too excited about it. But Google's saying, hey, don't stick your nose up at this. Because the cloud is going to create opportunities that you haven't even thought about.
Google Stadia exclusives to have features not possible on home hardware. They gave some examples like believable human interaction and something, the cloud.
I can't wait for the NPCs in my RPG to be people in an Indian call center. That's going to be fantastic.
You know, one of the guys here used to play a lot of Flight Sim, and there were people that would be the air traffic controller in the Flight Sim.
Like, oh, that's big.
That was their idea of fun. And I was like, wow, that's like a really intense
RP server.
Yeah, isn't that like right below dentist as the most stressful job in the universe?
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't sound like they were having fun. And yet, it was like,
I feel like the levels of stress between that and dentistry are.
Because like they were flying in, and I was like, wow, that air traffic controller sounds really convincing. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's so and so. He lives in like Milwaukee and he's retired. This is what he does all day. It's like, fair enough.
Man, Disney should get on making a movie right now that, like, some sort of, food poisoning or something wipes out the entire air traffic controller team, and they got to bring in the flight sim guys. And they're quirky and, you know, fun. And they're too old. Maybe Clint Eastwood.
That guy doesn't have a shirt that doesn't have Cheeto dust on it.
But it turns out they save Air Force One.
Through skillful air traffic controlling.
Oh, spoiler.
Speaking of new hardware, and perhaps new hardware that's forbidden, and yet you can touch it, but you can't have it.
So NVIDIA's new Shield TV boxes accidentally go on sale early at Best Buy. Of course, that was, I think, today. I think they go on sale today at Best Buy. So you can buy the Shield. Yeah, it's got a remote. And you can buy them at Best Buy. You can buy them at Best Buy a few days early.
Well, you couldn't buy it. It was there. You could pick it up. You could take it to the counter, but the system wouldn't let you buy it.
Oh, wow.
So the ultimate tease.
We'll just take pictures.
What a weird time to release it. I guess, I mean, it's right before Christmas, but like I would think you'd release it around Black Friday, even if it's like a week before.
Yeah, but if it's this new, you're not going to discount it.
How many times do you think they've sold a product early that they actually had to modify the computer system to be like, whoa there, cowboy?
Well, I remember they broke the date on video games before and got people banned.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I've definitely bought stuff earlier than you were supposed to at, like, Walmart in that scenario.
It's always Walmart.
They just didn't care. They were just like, yeah, whatever, we don't care. Yeah,
video games were that way, and the Harry Potter books.
But you got to think, like, Walmart as a corporation probably cares, but at the associate level...
they're just pissed they have to stay at midnight.
Yeah, really. So, big news this week. It was earnings season, so we got a lot of big earnings calls and, you know, big numbers coming out of Wall Street. But maybe the biggest Wall Street story was WeWork, which it's worth $8 billion. It used to be worth $47 billion, I think. Oh, wow, we're paywalled. I think the number is $47 billion. And if you're not good at basic math, that's a big difference.
WeWork needed a bailout, but Adam Neumann still leaves a billionaire. SoftBank Rescue values the office sharing firm at about $8 billion. And the guy that founded it, you might remember the guy that founded it from such stories as he sold the Wii trademark for what, like $5 million or something? But he gave the money back.
They undid that because.
But he's still going to be a billionaire, even though he ran the company into the ground. 2,200 people were laid off.
3,000.
Or 3,000.
They got to 3,000, wow. Yeah. So they pointed out that $1 billion, just a fraction of it, could keep those people working for another 2 or 3 years. But no, that's not how we're going to play that. So, he's not a popular guy right now.
He doesn't care.
He's got that $1 billion.
Yeah.
He's got his 31 years of immortality.
I was going to say, that would, for any of us, that would keep us running indefinitely. We wouldn't have to work again. He'll probably blow through that in like 2 months. But
Krista, that would keep the next 7 generations of your family running indefinitely.
Yeah.
That's an insane amount of money.
That's what I meant.
And when you think about $1 billion and what a crazy amount of money that is, this next story will really shock you, or not.
Jeff Bezos lost about $7 billion on Thursday. It's because he didn't get the Jedi contract. Their earnings were down, or their stock was down, probably because they're investing in a bunch of crap.
It was a big miss, yes.
And so their stock was way down, and that made Amazon's CEO a bit less wealthy.
He's all on paper.
Do you think he's just crying into his other billions of dollars?
I really can't see how he would care.
I mean, he gave away half to the wife already. That must have, at this point, you know, whatever. I think it's more about power than money for him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And he's going to keep his power. But shout out to Bill Gates back in the number one spot.
He'll give some more away.
Bill Gates dabbing on Jeff Bezos.
A little bit of a stumble with that mosquito thing. Maybe should have thought that out a little bit more.
Literally only seven people watching this got the joke.
We've talked about that on the show before.
They don't care. Those are the seven people that actually watch every episode religiously.
And they're going to comment.
And they are going to comment.
And maybe one of the reasons, out of many, that Amazon is suffering these great losses has to do with the marketplace. Because the marketplace lets anybody sell. And when you let anybody sell, they become a little unscrupulous.
CNBC says that Amazon is shipping expired food from baby formula to old beef jerky, scaring customers and putting big brands at risk. This is not news. This is, like, nothing needs to happen here other than maybe buyers should be able to discover the identity of sellers more easily. Because it's not legal to do that. Like, if you get expired food, you cannot sell that.
And it's weird because I've been shopping around for some odd chips lately. I've been trying to get some chickpeas. Salted
trying
chickpeas.
Trying to eat healthy.
Yeah, I figure chickpeas are probably better for me than
you
Doritos,
can get those
right?
In Meijer.
No, you can't. Not these kinds that I'm looking for.
Oh.
You can get the puffed ones, but I want just the roasted ones.
Oh, yeah. What about puffed rice? I used to love that stuff.
I think the chickpeas are better for you than the rice. Mm. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, I was going to buy some from Amazon, which it's like $15 a bag. But I wanted to see if I liked it or not. And reading the reviews, there were a lot of one-star reviews. It was like, this bag is expired, and I broke a tooth. And it spooked me. I was like, I'm not going to take that risk for $15.
My husband wanted me to order medicine from Amazon. I was like, no. No.
Like over-the-counter stuff?
Yeah, just like Pepto tabs.
Those are probably okay.
I didn't trust it. I bought them at Meijer when we went to the store today.
You're probably not going to save a lot of money on Amazon for that anyway, right?
Well, he was like, it'd be cheaper on Amazon. I'm like, they're $2. There's no way.
Anyway, some of these people have said that not only do they get expired food, but Amazon won't take food back easily.
Yeah.
So you can't do anything about it.
Of course, Amazon can tell Congress, is like, hey, we bought Whole Foods to deal with this. But I think just having more customer service people, like if Amazon could actually look at the returns from people and be like, oh, this is expired. Their system, the infrastructure, like it really wouldn't be a big deal to take a picture of every package before it leaves, and they could check and see if somebody's trying to pull a fast one, like being sent unexpired food and then saying, oh, your food has expired. The weird edge cases. You'd be surprised what people will try.
The Amazon warehouse employees are just screaming at you right now.
Somebody threw something at the screen on the computer, like, no.
Let us pee.
We're not going to take any pictures until we can pee.
BBC is worried about government censorship. Don't they take tax dollars?
They are government run, technically. They're supposed to be completely independent, but they're funded by British taxpayers on television tax.
Why would you give them money and then censor them? Anyway, they're worried about it, and they have a solution.
The BBC News launches the Dark Web Tor Mirror. They're probably thinking about people trying to watch the BBC in Iran.
That's a good point. And they do have BBC affiliates in other countries, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, you can get on here on the dark web through your the Onion, and not that Onion, not the newspaper, the Tor Onion, and you can get your secret evil news.
Of course, the dark propaganda spin on this is like Putin's minions of disinformation people have launched mirrors on Tor for their propaganda campaigns, and it's like,
well, there's also that theory that Tor is CIA.
Yeah. They definitely contributed funding to it.
So, who knows? Who knows who to trust? Probably not the BBC. Well, we talk a lot about the two-factor hijacking. That's a big problem because... And simjacking, was it Dorsey got hit by that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is literally nothing you can do about it. Somebody can clone your phone and you have no idea and there's no recourse. Just one corrupt AT&T employee and you're done. And the problem is SMS, not very secure. So what do? It's time for something new.
AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile have finally agreed to replace SMS with a new RCS standard. It's going to solve a lot of problems, they say.
Yeah, and
I'm skeptical.
a lot of big names signed up for this, except they're all phone companies. You know who's not on this list? Google. You know who else is not on this list? Apple. Because iMessage is not this.
Well, Google's killing your Hangouts, so it doesn't matter.
Now, Google has been working on their own version of RCS for Android, which no one was interested in. But now we got this version. But guess what? There's like a universal standard. They're not the same. Come on, guys.
Can it be called a standard?
We have 7 competing standards. Let's make one standard to unify all the standards. We now have 8 competing standards.
Isn't that what happened with those rings?
Yeah.
So, bad news for Amazon, bad news for Twitter, but you know who killed it in their quarterlies? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to say it. I'm going to give them their props, even though I hate them.
Tesla. You're talking about Tesla. Tesla's shares have soared after crushing third quarter earnings. Everybody was over the moon. Tesla reported third quarter revenue of $6.3 billion and earnings per share adjusted of $1.86. So, shares spiked 20% after Tesla posted the surprise profit and said it was ahead of schedule on the new factory in Shanghai. Another interesting tidbit from that call is that so far, Gigafactory costs in Shanghai are only 65% of the cost of the same factory in America.
Yeah.
That's cool. A third savings is pretty good.
Those Chinese workers are supercharged because they have fresh infusions of blood and organs.
From the Hong Kong protesters. Yeah. Oh.
I made myself sad.
Well, you'll feel better after a couple of rounds of Overwatch. Auto braking. So, remember that cool video of the giant semi-truck with the automatic lockup braking?
Mm-hmm.
Where they just like flip a switch and it just stops. And there's like a wet smear on the windshield for the driver. So, that technology is going to come to all cars. Now, I have some experience with this. I had a 2008 Infiniti G37, the top of the line one, and it had the laser following module. So you turn this on, it shoots a laser at the car in front of you, and it just follows them. Not steering, but the speed. So you don't have to, like, you know, keep matching speed with the car in front of you. You just let the car do it. And it uses the brakes. That thing would snap my neck 3 or 4 times a trip. If you went on a big curve and it caught sight of some flashy piece of metal on the side of the road, it would just lock them up. Be like, nope, not doing it. And that seems to be a common problem with this technology.
Auto braking tech will be standard in cars by 2022, but drivers are still complaining of phantom braking. So I drove a car that I don't normally drive for the road trip to Gamers Nexus, and it had that and the lane stuff, like the lane package, and it was constantly saying that I had departed the lane when I did not. Mostly in, like, construction areas and because it had rained a little bit.
Was this during tweeting time?
Yeah, I was going to say. Not to say that you're not a safe driver, but sometimes you're not a safe driver.
It was both hands on the wheel. Like,
and you were driving normally?
I was driving normally. Mm-hmm. And, like, at one point, the lane was, like, extra wide because of construction. And it had rained a little bit. And I think it was, like, tracking the tire tracks in the water of the car in front of me instead of the actual lines on the road. And it when you do a, like, a lane departure, it vibrates the steering wheel. And so it was like, what is going on with this car?
See, for me, I've had multiple tires blow out, and I'd be like, what tire is about to blow out? Something's vibrating that shouldn't be.
You also only have one headlight.
Yeah.
For a year, Krista.
Listen, I just don't drive after dark.
That sounds like my mom.
Except you do. At least 2 nights a week that we
Yeah, I have to because of the stream.
Quantum computing, we've been hearing a lot of headlines about it, but up until now, it's kind of just been a fun little thing, a little thought experiment. And, well, to be honest, it's kind of still a thought experiment. But we can finally say that quantum computers can do something that normie computers can't.
Nature has the article about the quantum supremacy using a programmable superconducting processor. This is the one out of Google, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't put the story in about the controversy. IBM says they've got better, but Google has got more proof, I think.
This is the paper that explains what they're doing and how it works.
And what a paper. Did you guys read this whole thing?
I did not.
No. Oh, man. And this will take you down a path that you're not ready for. That's cool looking. Look at that. How exciting.
It's sort of interactive theater art piece.
So there's a lot to this, and it explains in agonizing detail. If you can understand everything that's going on in this article, you're in a good place.
Google would like to hire you.
Probably smarter, too smart to be watching this program.
But ultimately, the point is that quantum supremacy means that this quantum computer can accomplish something that it would take, what was it, like 11 years?
Yeah, it took 3 minutes for it to do it.
It'd take 11 years for the best classic supercomputer to be able to deal with.
Yeah.
And by classic, that just means not quantum.
There is a lot of news out of this other than just, I mean, even if it's not supremacy, the fact that they were able to keep the quantum computation environment relatively stable for a relatively extended period of time is super useful, actually useful computationally, because a lot of quantum computers are, well, we need to string more qubits together in order to actually accomplish something, and we are now entering that realm.
Although it is still kind of just a proof of concept. They're not, the thing that they're accomplishing doesn't really accomplish anything.
Yeah.
It's just able to prove that it's working.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, this is one step closer to, you know, think about throwing some adversarial networks at this, and then poof, there goes the human race. Finally. We've got a lot of Linux users in our audience. You know how I know that?
They'll
tell
you.
They won't shut up about it. And they are going to have, they're going to love this headline, because not only can they complain, but they can continue to signal that they're a Linux user.
Disney Plus does not work on Linux devices. This is, of course, the Widevine DRM. Widevine is implemented in a lot of places. Widevine does actually work on Linux. However, the most restrictive Orwellian version of Widevine does not work on Linux.
Listen, Disney doesn't open the vault for anyone. Especially not filthy penguins.
So, yeah, they one guy figured this out. It's funny how there was such a small amount of, like, the Venn diagram of Linux desktop users and Disney Plus subscribers. There's like one guy that figured it out. And he had to call up a friend. He's like, can you test this?
It's almost two separate things. I would think, though, there would be at least a little more overlap just because of the Marvel movies.
But Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still watch all the Marvel movies other places, right? So
yeah.
I feel like, you know, one of the inner rim planets, and it's like, well, you know, Darth Vader's not been too terrible for us. I mean,
yeah, he blew up a couple planets, but
we got that government contract selling crystals. So yeah, that's the Widevine, and they reached out to Disney. Of course, ghacks.net is probably not real high on the callback list at Disney, but it doesn't seem like Disney's ever going to back down on that. And all they have to do is just change Widevine, like turn it back down to level 2.
Yeah.
But they probably won't.
No, there's not a chance.
Because what portion of their market share is the Linux desktop?
Disney's philosophy is that every time you see Darth Vader, you owe them a dollar, period. You're remembering Darth Vader right now in your head, you owe Disney royalties.
Unless you use Linux, then you can't. You're not allowed to. Stop. Moving on to the robot section. We often talk about bias. AI bias. Now, of course, robots and artificial intelligence cannot be biased. We cannot stress that enough. It's not possible. It's not in their programming. Except that it is in their programming. You see, it has to be the people that make the software that create the bias, not the AI. I wish they would not treat it like that.
It's a subtle distinction, but it is a distinction.
Researchers find racial bias in hospital algorithm. That algorithm was trained on hospital data. And the hospital data probably had a racial bias. So what happened with the algorithm? Had a racial bias.
So they said that Black people were less likely to get recommended for further treatment, all other things being the same. I would suggest, now I don't know the story here. This is, I'm assuming. It's probably not to do so much with race as money, right?
Oh, yeah, insurance could be.
Probably less insured, probably lower income overall. I'm not saying that all Black people are like that, but, you know, look at the statistics. And the hospital was probably trying to make money, right? And the AI was like, okay, I see what we're trying to do here. Maximize that.
And no one was like, you know, because the computer doesn't have any kind of moral compass.
All right, yeah.
It was like, okay.
It's literally saying, was that wrong? Should I not have inferred that from the data set?
It was saying that thousands and thousands of times a second, and it was being reinforced by the data. It's like, nope, nothing wrong with that. Keep doing it.
It's just like the YouTube algorithm.
Oh, and facial recognition. Now, we have talked so much about facial recognition, but here's the thing about facial recognition. While we're debating it, it's getting better and better and better. And it's crazy some of the things they can use it for now.
Higher views, AI face scanning algorithm increasingly decides whether you deserve the job. So this is a story about how, you know, not just AI analyzing your resume, AI also interviewing you, basically. And it looks at your face and it's like, yeah, they deserve a job.
Yeah, they ask you some questions and it detects, like, remember the lie detector AI?
Yeah.
It's that same kind of thing, the micro features of your face, the micro expressions, I think they call them. And it's like, are you really happy to greet me? Or are you struggling to keep that smile on your face? Do you seem deceptive? And they don't say this, but I bet this is an easy way, because they talk about this is big for front desk style jobs, right? I think that's probably an easy way to just be like, are you pretty enough?
Yeah, I don't want this ugly mug to be a deciding factor on whether or not I get a job, especially if it's not public facing.
But I think in some cases, I wonder, are they actually using the AI, or are they just taking a look at somebody and like, listen, we don't want this dog at the front desk. Say that AI hates them.
That wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
So, yeah, that's sad. A sad world. You know who that's going to really affect negatively is the Instagram thoughts. Because when the AI sees their true faces, it'll be able to know.
That they've had surgery? Wouldn't that rank
the
higher?
Filter girls.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's true.
So you used, you know, 1.3 times the allowed limit of required filters. No job for you.
I was going to say, but wouldn't the human also know, though? Like, wow, you look different compared to your LinkedIn picture.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Also, you have to think about those girls aren't getting jobs.
Well, some of them probably have a job.
So speaking of faces, how would you feel if yours was torn off of your body and given to a robot?
It's not great.
This robot wants to wear your face. You'll get $130,000 for sharing, so going a little bit Texas Chainsaw Massacre here.
They want a kind and friendly face. What does that face look like?
I think it looks like the one girl. The Hunger Games girl.
Really?
But it looks like her in distress.
Oh, that's a different robot, I think.
Which one are you talking about?
The one they're talking about in the article.
It doesn't have a face yet.
No, but I'm saying, like, what they're looking for, they say, is a kind and friendly face. What does that look like to you?
Super attractive.
Super attractive. Yeah. See, I thought I went old. I was like an old granny or an old grandfather.
I guess it depends on
like
what
for
the,
kind. You know what I mean?
What the application is. I think they probably want it to be kind of ambiguous in terms of age, right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, well, he's kind of pulled back, right? Am I crazy in thinking that?
I saw the commercials for the new movie. He did look a little pulled back.
Did they explain why the robot is getting old?
No.
I didn't see the movie, but I doubt they did.
Is the movie out? I haven't seen it.
I saw some people talking about it in Twitch chat the other day.
Anyway, $130,000. It's actually paid out in the local currency, which converts to $130,000. And you're basically just saying that, yes, this robot can look exactly like me forever.
You submit, and if they don't pick you, you don't get anything. But if they pick you, then they're going to pay you that.
Well, no, it's a beauty contest for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I want an old person to win it, because it should be my granny's face on that robot.
You just wrote a horror movie.
Would that be
granny
kindly and sweet?
But would that be comforting to you or kind of disturbing to you after granny?
Well, I'm not the market for this robot, but you know, someone, you know, a little southern granny.
No, but this could,
who wouldn't want that in their house making cornbread?
But what if this robot becomes super ubiquitous and like you go to Cracker Barrel and granny's seating you?
That would be weird.
Yeah,
that would be strange.
How long before like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos comes out of the woodwork and is like, I'll give you $1 million to go with my likeness?
Zuckerberg's face would be brilliant.
Well, Zuckerberg's already a robot.
Yeah.
He's the prototype.
That's redundant. He just rips off his face and it's like, here you go.
He escaped from the lab and they're just not really sure what to do.
Krista,
Yes.
This gardening robot will trim your bush.
And mow your lawn.
Get it?
I knew you were going to go there, but I thought you would be more excited about this. Because all you've complained about ever since fall started was the damn pine cones in your lawn.
Oh my God, the pine cones are... There's just so many of them.
I must have it.
So yeah, this guy is... he'll trim your bush. He's pretty cool. Now, I've seen... Have you ever seen the big industrial one where it's like just a horseshoe shape?
Oh, yeah, and it'll just like...
And it just... Yeah. So I wonder if that little arm of his can do that. I mean, it
doesn't
looks
like
look it's
like
a little
it.
Too
there
small.
There was no video. Yeah. But they said they like program in the dimensions of your yard and like any obstacles, and then he just does his job.
I think I like that better, though, because the other one is designed for a fixed size bush, and that is programmable, probably.
Well, this yeah, guy's got all the optical sensors. So he can adapt to, and my bushes need trimmed desperately. I bought the hedge trimmer, but I haven't dragged my ass outside and used it yet.
My great aunt and uncle were doing their own hedge trimming well into their 80s.
Are you saying that's a shame, Ryan? Or
no, I'm just saying like that was all they could manage. Like they were like, you know, doing a week would pass and they've trimmed the bushes, and then like 2 days, and then they'll be like, it's time to trim the bushes, and then it would be like a week long affair again.
Does that really that much work?
And you don't have to do that often for sure. I mean, I've let mine go a year, and that was irresponsible, but at the 6 month mark, that would have been fine. Yeah. Anyway, we do need yard robots, critically. I don't know if this guy's quite ready, but I'm going to be super excited when I'm old. And all I have to do is just keep my yard robot. Hose them off every
just
once in a while.
Plant a bunch of trees in your yard. I would love to have a wooded yard, but that's not
Crystal,
a thing.
Where do you think the pine cones are coming from?
If you just know.
There
like
are
just,
consequences.
Just reintegrate it back into the forest. Make it into little woods.
That takes like 30 years.
Someone will get to enjoy it long after you're dead.
Google is working on a new kind of AI, and it's going to... You know, it's you know in Terminator where they would use the dogs to detect the Terminators? Well, Google's decided to turn that around. They're now going to make it so that the robot smells you.
Google researchers taught an AI to recognize smells. Their algorithm can identify odors based on their molecular structures.
This is really cool.
Yeah, literally is robot nose. They describe how they built it, which is mildly interesting.
Yeah,
mildly.
It breaks down. I guess it burns it. And looks at the molecular structure, and it's trained. It was trained by human data. So for smelling professionals smelled perfumes. So this came from like a perfume company, and they would tag it as, you know, hints of leather.
Woodsy.
Or, you know, earthy.
Citrusy, yeah.
And all that went into a giant data set, and so now this thing can predict what something smells like just from that.
Very cool.
How would you like to be the person who works on the data set for bad smells?
They mentioned too that this is actually fairly difficult, just because like on a molecular level, sometimes there are scents that like almost exactly mimic each other and can be very difficult to differentiate, but smell dramatically different, which is, it's crazy that a computer can do that now.
Bob, are you done working on that horse vomit data set? We need that. It's important.
We're making jelly bellies with it.
This actually would be good for chemical detection as well, because the human nose can detect arsenic in soil down to about 15 parts per million, which is actually pretty good.
AI can do better than that.
Well, yeah, eventually, yeah. And that would be... But you could detect all kinds of contaminants and things by smell, which would be great.
Honestly, I just feel bad for the dogs, you know? More American jobs just outsourced to machines.
The Sarah McLachlan commercial. It was like service dogs who are out of work.
I used to sniff drugs. I used to work in an airport.
I was somebody. Oh, AI is also constantly improving the lives of paralyzed people. We looked at the exoskeleton. Remember the exoskeleton? That was really cool. And then there's the eye tracking stuff, which is fantastic. And even the neural link stuff. Where they're just like, hey, you got a bad spine? Don't worry about it.
Just have a shunt directly.
Or just bypass it. Just plug your legs straight in. And this is another step in that direction.
AI allows a paralyzed person to handwrite with his mind. This is from Science Magazine, and they've got a picture of what he was able to write, and it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, but
let's it's like first grade level, but well, considering he wasn't writing anything at all.
Look at this V and look at this R. This is garbage.
Maybe that's just how he writes, though.
This is only twice as fast as the other method, which I think was blinking or something.
I think it was some sort of on-screen keyboard IUI.
Yeah.
So it's still a little slow, but...
But it's you writing handwriting in cursive, and then the AI making that plain text.
Yeah.
So if you were writing cursive directly to another human, it would probably be much faster.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was definitely like the blink thing was pre-technology, and they would just do yes-no questions.
But you know what? How about
take forever to do like any kind of diagnosis?
How about we take this technology and give it to somebody with some penmanship? Jesus, this is terrible. Look at this F. What is this?
I wonder. Like, I wish they would do a comparison to this person's regular handwriting. That'd be very interesting.
No, they forgot to get a sample before the accident. I guess they could have like some documents.
Yeah,
or something,
right? Like a check or something like that. Because that's something people still use, right? Checks.
Yeah, the old ladies in front of me admire.
I still use checks every now and then.
You're wrong. Shouldn't do it.
I don't do it at the grocery store.
We talked about the Japanese hotel. Remember the Japanese hotel where the dinosaurs would greet you?
Oh, yeah.
And finally.
Robot bellboys.
It wasn't super successful, but it was successful enough that they made a couple of more of them, and they're still tweaking it. And one of the things that they really needed to tweak, they put off for a little too long.
Japanese hotel chain is sorry that hackers may have watched guests through the bedside robots. What?
Bedside robots?
What? Yeah, it turns out they didn't secure the robots.
So when you go to this hotel, the robot takes you to your room. And in your room, you have a robot that just hangs out by the bed in case you want something. And you're like, hey, robot, get me this thing. Well, that robot has a camera. And it records you.
Because it's secretly piloted by an Indian call center.
So a security researcher went to the hotel, because he loved robots. And he was like, wait a minute, I recognize these robots. They have this near-field technology where I can just tap into it and use my phone to download the video that's on there.
Ugh.
And he told them about it, and they were like, yeah, whatever. Leave.
Well, I wonder if he told people at the front desk too, and like, what are they going to do about
the robot at the front desk?
Yeah.
And so he kept like saying, hey guys, you going to do anything about this? And they just ignored him, and so he released it to the public.
And then they're like, oops, kill the messenger.
Ooh, we're sorry. We're so sorry. Please keep coming to our hotel.
Is it time for more cupcakes yet? I think that's the end of this episode.
It is.
How many cupcakes are going to be left on Friday's episode? Make your bets now.
How many rings will I be wearing?